You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is not Justin Davis. It is Mark Medina.
Oh, hi.
Sam Claiborne.
Hey, everybody.
And Tina Amini.
What's up, everybody?
And we have a great show for you this week. We're going to talk about some more classic games that are being remade very soon.
We're going to talk about Damon's three favorite games that are getting remade.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going to talk about a little bit more about Google Stadia. It is selling out, so I hope you got yours already.
Pre-order now.
Only if you wanted that blue controller.
But first... let's start with what we've been playing lately. I know Tina and I have been playing Borderlands 3. Mark? Yeah.
Borderlands 3! All right.
Surprise, surprise.
75% of us have been watching or playing Borderlands 3.
You can't talk about the Goose game yet, right?
Oh, when does this go up?
Tomorrow?
The embargo's tomorrow.
Then it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I played tomorrow. Goose game.
Did you beat it?
Yeah, it's crazy
G-O-T-Y? Goose game of the year? Come on,
guys. It can just be... It can just be G-O-T-Y, Goose of the Year.
Goose of the Year? It's clearly Goose of the Year.
It's the untitled game of the year.
Mm. I like that.
That's just what it's just going to be.
That's pretty cute, too.
We're going to confuse everybody.
I like how everyone really clicked this hoping to hear about Borderlands 3, and now they have to hear about untitled Goose game.
That game's
it's
amazing.
It's really short, and it's pretty much the only Metal Gear Solid game I've ever played.
What?
A lot of sneaking around.
Explain.
You don't put a radio and a sprinkler to break it, that way you can sneak it past the guy?
Is it a stealth game? What is it called? Stealth? Tactical.
It's definitely
espionage action.
It's stealth.
Yeah, stealth espionage action.
There are cardboard boxes. Well, yeah, there's different ways to solve things. So speaking of the radio, there's like this radio you have to sneak past the gardener guy right at the beginning of the game, and it's sitting on. So when you pick it up, it makes like music, and he goes
Otacon calls.
He goes over there and he gets you right. Yeah. And then, so what I did was he puts it on top of a cooler, and I drug the cooler all the way to where it needs to go. And Tom,
this is
like,
okay. Listen, I watched this, and it was funny when it happened, but this is a boring story.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
wrap it up.
No, I didn't realize. I was really excited when I saw it happen too.
The timer is flashing.
I can't wait for people to hear this. But this amazing story.
Tom put the radio in the sprinkler and broke it. I'm just saying there's multiple ways to solve this little game.
It's a goosey game.
Goosey.
It's a goosey game.
Why is that funny?
Are you kidding me? The guy said he wanted something goosey.
Something goosey. Yeah. I'm excited for the sequel, Uncensored Goose Game.
Yeah.
Just every time he honks.
Two goose for TV. Two honk for TV.
Is this game, is it level based? What are you doing here? Is
it open one of those world? Things where it's like, hey, do all this stuff, and something you cause will open up a new area. So like you have him hit his thumb and he like falls from the
have
pain,
him hit
I
his
guess,
thumb,
or whatever.
Like with a hammer?
Yeah, he goes to like hit his hit.
Well, like
his,
he's like lining up. See, now I'm telling the boring story. I'm just joking. Those are great. This is great. I've never seen Mark do this before.
Please.
I wanted to acknowledge, too honk for TV was a really good joke that Damon made.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
It.
And Mark, your story was, it was okay.
Well, so it's like Dark Souls.
It was a 6.0.
It's like Dark Souls. You do something, and then it opens up a new area. And then it's, so it's like a Metroidvania, Dark Souls.
I'm out.
Metal Gear Solid. this game's got it all. It's
we should write
all.
That headline.
Yeah.
Goose Game of the Year. Goose just game. Like all it's, of these other games it's entirely not like.
Yeah.
Winner
yeah.
Goose Game.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Exactly. That's from 2011.
So we don't have to talk about Borderlands.
No.
All right. Let's move on.
Is Goose Game like Borderlands 3?
No. There's no loot.
Well, you can get a...
In
you,
that there are multiple
count,
options.
Unless you count a sandwich.
There's loot. Yeah. Right. That counts as loot.
I think it's total loot because you drag everything back to the picnic.
That's true.
Yeah.
Blanket.
That's true.
So you don't have,
but,
you don't, but you don't have any inventory space, just like in Borderlands 3.
Goose Game of the Year, also like Borderlands 3, added to the
like
list.
Borderlands.
So is Untitled Goose Game out tomorrow?
It's out yes. The 20th, yeah.
That's
yeah,
tomorrow.
Yeah.
So the day that you're listening to this, it's out.
It's out.
Go play.
And it only takes an hour and a half to beat.
It's so super short.
You can beat it almost 40 times this weekend.
Please.
Should it have been longer, or is that the right amount of time
no,
to be a goose?
It's like,
for me,
it's one of those things where when you beat the game, there's still like stuff you can do, but okay. You've rolled the credits.
Just like mm-hmm. Control, mm-hmm. Which
segue.
I finished.
We're going to talk about anything.
It's fine. We can talk about Borderlands. Sorry, Damon. So, okay, wait. To your Borderlands point, yes,
yeah.
The inventory sucks. I assume that you can level up from there.
In your skill inventory?
You can increase your inventory.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
You do it at Marcus's munitions. Place.
Perfect. Yeah.
You can level
I'm still
up
pretty
your
early.
Inventory.
Yeah, because you could do that in 1 and 2 and whatnot. A lot of the systems feel pretty antiquated in a lot of ways. Like everybody keeps saying, it's just Borderlands again. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And well, you've been playing more than any of us, I think. So
No. I think I'm agreeing with you. You're saying yeah. That it's a little bit better. I think it's like Borderlands 2, but I think it's better in every single way. And that makes it a better game.
Every single way.
How about that map?
Do you think it's funnier?
Maybe the writing.
I hear okay. The map is broken, as Tino was just saying.
Yeah.
Broken?
Well, it's like difficult to see what levels are on like a different elevation.
Control has a similar
I thought they did a better job at that because now you can like rotate the map.
Yeah.
I think you mean like when you set a waypoint.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find out where that
like
actually
which,
is.
Yeah, and like which route like, you should be taking.
It's like if it like splits off and your waypoint's here and you're like, oh, I'm going to it. And then you're like, oh, and you got to open your map and you go, I got to go
also,
all the way back around.
Can we just say if you're playing with another player, the driver should not also be the navigator because you have to stop driving, pull up your map, figure out which direction you need to go
to. You have to physically stop the car before you actually
So the person who's in the back just on the gunner should be the one to look at the map,
Can
right?
they just pull up their map and look at the map while the other person
while
drives?
The other person's driving.
And that's
exactly.
The way you should do it.
Exactly.
My wife needed to
I totally
find
don't
where
have baggage
was,
around this.
And she could see my TV and I would just open my map and I'm like, look. And she could just see her little
She was
triangle.
Screen cheating?
She totally.
Hey,
well, that's the whole point.
Is that what it was called in Perfect Dark when you look at the
don't look
like
at my
screen peeking. There's a whole game
Yeah.
There's a game called Screen Cheat or something like that where you don't see the other person on the map. It's like a shooter. You don't see the other person, so you have to screen peek to see where they are to be able to shoot them.
Mm-hmm. Mario Kart Battle Mode, do you screen cheat or do you not?
It's so easy to screen cheat that you can like see you can line up
it
a
is.
Shot with somebody driving on their own screen.
But
it's
you,
so funny.
So you do it because
oh, yeah,
because it's like for some people it's part of the experience, but for some people you need to be.
Well,
respectful.
There was like these elaborate cardboard setups that people would set up. Back
I've done that.
Where it
I've
come
done
off
that.
The television, like oh, so
I've done that, like playing Halo, like putting up the blanket and like one of your friends is under the blanket.
That's great. What's up with the pets in Borderlands?
One. Class has a pet, Flack, and that's the class that I chose with because I heard it was good for solo players, which I'm playing by myself. Mm-hmm. And you can send out pets to attack people for you.
And the first pet is a dog?
Yeah. Monster, kind of a monster dog.
It's a skag. You know what's really sad, though? I think they changed the death sounds for the skags. They sound really, really sad.
Yeah, it sounds
die.
Like a dog whimper.
Yeah, exactly. It sounds like a dog whimper. It kind of breaks my heart.
Your pet is whatever you pick. So you pick the dog.
I didn't know I had a choice.
Yeah,
you can,
any of the skill
it's
trees.
It's dependent on your skill
all
tree.
All three of the characters, you can pick which skill tree you get 1 point right at the start.
You can get a.
You can change it on the fly too. So you picked the what's his name? Meat shield or I forget his name.
Not meat shield.
No, that's the spider ant.
The little jabber boy. Anyways, yeah. You can change it on the fly. Okay. Like if you're like,
oh, so what are the other options?
There's
it's
a rack.
It's like a spider ant.
Yeah, and then there's a rack of flying dinosaur monster things.
I think I'll stick with the dog.
Well, there's the flying. It's like a pterodactyl thing.
Mm. Yeah, the rack.
That sounds cool.
I think it's a rack, right?
Well, that's
pterodactyls do sound cool.
It's like you send it off. But one of them is like a little like jabber guy, and he has a gun.
Jabber guy.
And the more this you level the spider. Him up, not the spider. He's like a little, I don't know.
He kind of looks like the skag.
Jabber guy. I don't know what he is.
What do you mean by the word jabber?
Yeah. Where
jabber,
is this coming keep from? Saying this word.
Isn't that an enemy? You know, anyways, he has a gun. And then you can make it where he has a shotgun. So he's a little pet that walks around with a shotgun.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
I'm playing as Amara. I don't really like her. She's fine.
Hmm. I'm playing as Moe's. She has a robot.
Yeah, Moe's is, I think, Moe's and Flack are actually the community favorites from what I've seen.
I've seen the search volume to back that up.
There you go.
It's totally,
you guys can
it's
keep
totally,
talking about this.
No, it's totally fun. I'm having a good time, but it does feel very samey. It's a little bit like they spent 7 years working this. I guess they didn't spend the entire 7 years, but it's been 7 years since Borderlands 2. And this, if you had told me this was a new expansion for Borderlands 2, I would have believed you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gearbox made pre-sequel, right?
Yeah.
So which then it would be however many years since pre-sequel.
Which oh, wait. No.
Which was, about the pre-sequel.
I think it was a different team in Australia that made
it. I wasn't sure if it was like a spin-off or from another team or not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was the, anyway, it's their Fallout New Vegas.
It's fun. Other games are able to like reinvent themselves in new sequels and in editions. But this just feels like more Borderlands, which it's fine.
Yeah,
I'm enjoying it.
I love the guns, and I love that. I feel like every time I go back to Sanctuary to like do all my inventory management, I feel like I'm going back out into the world as a slightly different character. You're always leveling up. You're always getting better guns. I have a shotgun right now that every time I shoot them, it just blows them away. It's so fun.
Like physically blows them away.
Like
from
it literally just like blows them away. And then when you reload, it becomes a grenade that flashes and says, shoot me as it's going towards them. And then you get another one and then you shoot it. It's awesome.
Cool.
Like that. It's really fun. Yeah. I like it a lot.
Yeah, for sure. Sam's been playing Control.
I have, and Gears. I can talk about both. So cool. Control, it's a really interesting game. And
I like it a lot too.
Like a story. I had a radio and a thermos cooler. And the radio was on top of the cooler, and I dragged it all the way to my picnic blanket. And the thing is you can do it.
That's crazy. I've played Control.
You have telekinesis. You could just do that with your mind.
All right.
Yeah, you could just.
Why are you dragging things?
Okay.
So real Control.
Yeah, real Control. Well, a couple people beat it, and I'm really close to being at the end right now, and I hear it like it gets crazier and crazier. But it is like a game that's like really stylish, and every piece of like... you know, if you're not in a hallway, if you're in a big room, like there's something transforming and cool looking in it. And it's just like a feat of weirdness. And I think that's really cool about
and
it.
And I like
there's
that
nothing
they,
like that out there.
They really set the mood too with when you grab a control point and then the red glow goes away. And so there's like a sense of security involved in that too. So it has that horror element and then the sense of relief as well. And you're so godlike that it just feels great to play. I like that game quite a bit.
And it's really funny when it's your game of the year and Janet Garcia.
So far.
Mm-hmm. Which is a big deal. That's why a lot of people are.
Have you played Goose Game yet?
No, I've only observed the game of the goose.
It's all coming down.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you, there's a radio and then there's a cooler.
Well, you know what?
In Borderlands?
Probably.
There are coolers.
I don't know why I thought that was funny. In Control, the characters, and when they're talking, there's like these cutscenes where like people are talking back and forth, and then they show the dialogue of the character, but it's internal dialogue. So like the character is talking, and she'll be talking, and then the other person will say something really important, like you need to get down there and clear out those what are they called sniffs.
Hiss.
Smurfs. Hiss.
Smurfs.
You need to clear out the Smurfs right
that
away.
That would be a blue glow.
Everybody's dying, and then she'll just like stare. You can do the voice.
I don't know her voice.
Yeah, that was perfect.
No, it's more like,
nailed it.
Should I talk about Dylan now?
Yeah.
Is now a good time to talk about Dylan? I'm not sure. I guess I'm just going to go for it. Which, honestly, like, I like.
I don't know if we edit podcasts anymore, but if we do,
we need
to zoom in there just on Sam's face.
She does the thing with her eyes.
Yeah.
And then I had one cutscene where one eye just went right to the center. And
only one did?
Yeah, it was great.
That's a cool trick. Cool party trick.
Love that game. Let me tell you about Gears real quick, though. Yeah. I got to the ice level.
Okay. which is good.
And like every game, you slide around. No. It's fine. Gears, it's just like it does have a nice level.
Does Gears feel like more Gears?
Gears, it does feel exactly like more Gears, but it's better than the last Gears, and I really like the familiarity. Just like what you were talking about with guns, mm-hmm. I really like guns in Gears of War, and you know, have you guys all played Gears of War games?
Yeah.
You know how there's the reload? Mm-hmm. And you can get the perfect reload? Yeah. Mm. Like, they've carried those across all the games, you know?
Yeah.
And it is kind of funny to think, like, 10 years ago now, I was like doing that perfect reload and got really good at it. I just love like being back doing that again. Mm. It makes it a little when you do it right.
Very satisfying.
Also, nice.
When you clear out all the enemies, it still does that guitar chord.
I love it. It's so stupid. The first wave of monsters I killed in Gears 5, and it did that. It was like, and you're all like, oh God,
I'm
going
to find cog tags.
I'm back.
But it's like, yeah, it's so going through the motions in a fun way. I'm not using that pejoratively, but I was complaining about this, I think to you a little bit, that every character still looks like a puffy idiot.
And
it's like everybody has like, you know, this giant neck, and like they just look ridiculous.
Isn't there like matching giant horses?
No, that's right.
Giant horses.
Yeah, in the ice level, you're inside this giant worm skeleton.
Whoa.
And you're like, well, and it's cool. It's like a town. It's really neat.
A town and a worm skeleton.
And then you come to this horse, and it's like polygonal and giant and puffy. It looks like there's like a painter called Fernando Botero who does these like big figures, and they're not like, they're just like, they look exactly like that. Everything's too puffy. And then you were saying that like the cars are puffy.
I was not saying that.
Well, who is I talking to you about that? Everything in that, like if you see a radio or a television or whatever, like
it's really buff.
Yeah, everything's buff.
Someone described Marcus Fenix as he's just a boulder with legs.
Yeah.
And that's
the style. It's like, oh, I reckon you're in a supermarket now, but everything's just like puffed out. But I think
it's actually a gun in Borderlands.
Well, it's good.
Exactly.
Because Marcus has got to fit through the aisles. He'd just knock everything down.
But now there's a bunch of like young characters. And so they're not like these gritty old soldiers. And there's both men and women. And like that style just doesn't work at all. Everything's so silly in that game.
I mean, isn't it part of the lore where there's super soldiers, like, I don't know, with some sort of... Am I thinking of a different game?
No, they're not, but, like, that is a good explanation because they have to carry armor and stuff. But again, like, now there's, like, young, small people that are part of... that you play as.
They're still buff.
Yeah, and yeah, well, no, they're like, you can't tell what they are because they're under so much armor, but then, like, their faces are just, like, you know, those big round things with tiny little eyes in the middle. It's really strange.
See? It just...
I know.
He said it's really strange.
But listen, I'm just going to go like this and my dialogue will just go without me.
All right.
The rest of the time. Just make sure you move your eyebrows occasionally.
Yeah. I've also been playing a Sega CD game. I have. You ever played Popful Mail?
Explain.
It's a really cool anime styled, very interesting game where you are a lady elf bounty hunter. And it has these like anime cutscenes that are rendered in like pixel art graphics, so it's a really cool visual look. And so these full cutscenes play, and then you like take on a bounty, and then it goes to an overworld map, and you choose where you want to go, and then it switches to side-scrolling action RPG gameplay.
I think you just won what you've been playing.
It was very cool. Popful Mail is a game I'd always heard of and never actually played. It's supposed to be like one of the good Sega CD games, and from what I can tell, it is.
Is it Popful like letter mail? Like
P-O-P-F-U-L.
And then?
M-A-I-L.
M-A-I-L.
Okay. Yeah.
What is the mail?
Oh, like mail as in delivering mail.
Mm-hmm. Well, but you're a bounty hunter, so I don't know.
okay.
But that game's really cool.
So it's the prequel.
Are you sure you didn't dream that?
Yeah.
It is Death Stranding, basically.
I played it and then dreamed about it because it was so cool.
Yeah.
And I was also playing Rambo on NES, which is an interesting game.
How's the music?
Amazing. The music is so good. The gameplay is actually terrible, but it's like one of those rare instances where it's a licensed NES game with terrible gameplay, but amazing music.
Well, let's hear it right now.
Nope, I don't have it. We've been listening to it recently, but it's a really interesting setup because they're like trying to tell the story of the movie Rambo 2, which seems very sophisticated for an NES game in the 80s. So like the setup it's just like the movie and all seems very cool. But when you leave the army base and go out into the jungle, you just have a knife and you're swapping snakes and wasps for like ever. You don't ever fight any actual human enemies.
So I've only seen first part of Rambo 2. Is that what it's called? The movie?
Rambo First Blood Part 2.
Blood Part 2. Okay. I've only seen the first part of it and it's really cheesy and they're in a helicopter and stuff. I've never seen the part with the snakes and scorpions.
Well,
is that part good?
There is a part of the snake in the very beginning of that movie when he first lands in the jungle.
Cool.
Are you preparing for the new
movie? Does he jump over it?
I haven't seen the last Rambo
movie. Is that how you prepare for the new movie? Go back and play the NES game?
Yeah.
Very specifically.
Wait, you haven't seen The fourth one, John Rambo.
No, haven't seen
it. Oh, it's awesome.
Is it called John Rambo?
I think
it's just Rambo.
No, I don't think so. Because
no, it doesn't they think made, so. They made,
no, I don't think so. Because it was Rocky Balboa and John Rambo. Those came out of the same... Man, what I...
Mark hasn't seen Jurassic Park, so you don't. You shouldn't listen to him about anything. Nothing to do with
the Rambo movies. And in the fourth one, he blows a man's legs off with a chain gun that's hooked to the back of a truck.
Well, I feel like that was a spoiler. I would have really enjoyed seeing that by myself.
There's violence in the Rambo movie.
The first Rambo movie is a lot like a video game because he has all these different levels. There's like a mine level.
The first video game?
No, the first Rambo movie.
Oh, wait. First Blood. First one. First
yeah.
Blood.
First, yeah.
There's like, first you know blood. How he goes through like a mine, he has to crawl through it, he comes mm-hmm. out the other mm-hmm. side, and then there's like a boss fight in the mall in the end.
Yeah.
That's a very
different movie. I forget that those movies,
a very different movie.
First Blood, yep. First Blood Part 2, then Rambo 3.
Yep.
Then
Rambo.
Then Rambo, or not, John Rambo, who knows?
I think it's just
Rambo. And then Rambo...
There's no way to know.
Blood.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the NES game has great music.
I feel like you guys are going to have to settle this after the show.
I was going to try to Google it.
Yeah, please.
My phone just updated.
You can Google it.
You can get Apple Arcade
now.
And I have to do the, like, choose your Wi-Fi network thing.
It takes so long. I want to hook my PS4 controller to my iPhone.
Yeah. You can do that now?
Yeah, with iOS 13.
Yeah, iOS 13.
You can. It feels like something we need to make a how-to video for.
Yeah.
Okay, don't give the audience better ideas than us.
Wait, this is... Oh, yeah. Maybe.
Let's talk about one of my favorite games of all time.
This episode of Game Scoop is brought to you by NordVPN. As Scoop Nation knows, your Omega Cops have been a little obsessed with a movie called Weekend at Bernie's lately. But as happens too often these days, it is difficult to find it streaming here in the US. That's where NordVPN comes in. With NordVPN, you can switch your virtual location to a more enlightened region where they appreciate the comic delights of Weekend at Bernie's. And it's not just for streaming movies and shows. Switching your virtual location can allow you to save money by purchasing flights, hotels, and subscriptions from other countries at a cheaper price. And you can do all this worry-free as NordVPN threat protection features protect you from viruses, malware, and phishing sites. Best of all, NordVPN costs the price of a cup of coffee a month, and one account can be used on up to 6 devices. To get the best discount on your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/gamescoop. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nordvpn.com/gamescoop. 1 in 5 Americans has learned a new language on their bucket list, or life backlog, if you will. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel. Upgrade your personal skill set in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Its tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I have a trip to Mexico coming up, so I've been using Babbel to brush up on my Spanish. The courses are short and sweet, so I can do one whenever I have a few minutes to spare. And the words and phrases it teaches you are designed for practical, real-world use, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions. Babbel can even provide you feedback on your pronunciation with its speech recognition tech. And it's not just for Spanish. Babbel includes 14 different language courses, each backed by a 20-day money-back guarantee. Here's a special limited-time deal for Scoop Nation. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, only for our listeners, at babbel.com/gamescoop. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/gamescoop, spelled BABBEL.com/gamescoop. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is going on.
5 seconds left. Everyone's just pulling out their phones.
I had to set up.
That was good content right there, Damon.
Well,
good
it is
content.
It is. It is for those podcast listeners.
iOS 13, so guys.
What is my? Yeah, I know. Yeah. Why are you doing this right now, Mark?
Put your phone away. Because Rambo, I have nothing to do the for the next.
I have nothing to do for the next 30 minutes.
Okay, guys. I'll look up the Rambo thing.
No, I'm getting there.
Oh my God!
I just he pulls out his
phone. It's updating. No.
We're not going to ban tea, but we are going to ban cell phones.
We should.
And GameScoop.
Laptops down, guys.
Hey, can you tell Tina and Justin that there's a rule about not having tea on GameScoop?
You
there's
already
no
told
such
them.
Thing.
What is
how
the
dare
rule?
You?
Because Amanda was
there's
like,
no rule.
She was telling me about the Slack channel, and no. then she's
it's
like,
just called Rambo.
There's a rule says, that.
Thank you.
Wow.
First, thank you.
First Blood.
Tina.
Rambo First Blood
just
Part 2.
Rambo
3. Rambo Last Blood.
You know what? I'm never doing anything for you ever again.
There is a real
rule. That's only fair.
Take my side on that one.
There is a real rule on this show where
if
you take nachos, you can't take all of the nachos with all the meat. And
we have a rule.
Well, it's called the nucleus. And that's you don't take from the nucleus. You respect.
You can't eat all
you
the good.
You work around it.
You have an elaborate nacho theory?
Well, it's from the hit television show King of Queens.
I'm going to stop you right there. And I'm going to remind you that late last year, a remake of Katamari Damacy was released called Katamari Damacy Reroll.
Encore.
An HD, no.
I played it on Switch.
I know, yeah, yeah.
But it, yeah, well, it was called Reroll here.
I think it was called John Katamari Damacy.
No, I don't think so.
But encore at the end.
And in the game, there's a radio on a cooler.
But Tina is correct. It was called Katamari Damacy Encore in Japan. And now Bandai Namco, same publisher, has trademarked a few more classic Namco games with the Encore name, Splatterhouse, Klonoa, and Mr. Driller. And this is exciting news.
Just throwing that word Driller. Classic around.
People like myself. Well, what do you call them? Old games? They're not classic, just old games?
They're only classic
retro
if they're good.
Retro games, yeah.
For my money, all those games are good.
Can I just know. Say, I've never heard Katamari Damacy.
What do you hear?
Damacy.
I don't know.
I heard Damon's Way.
I've never heard Damacy.
I've only heard
I didn't
Damacy.
Even know what you were talking about at first.
What?
I just shut
so
down.
Because it's so
off.
Different.
I was like what?
Mark was totally lost. He's like, what are you guys talking about?
And I sounded it out in my head. I did the math.
Katamari Damacy.
And Katamari Damacy. Damacy.
Yeah, Damacy. That's how I've heard.
And then I was like, what is Damon doing?
We'll just have to ask Pear next week.
Katamari
Look Damacy. It up.
Damon, does this show have rails?
Not anymore.
Not, we're off them.
All right. Not anymore.
Let's hear your... He's prepared basically a TED Talk about Splatterhouse, so...
Thanks for coming to my TED Talk. But no, my question is, I love Splatterhouse. There are three games from the 16-bit era, Splatterhouse 1, 2, and 3. There's an arcade original. It was ported to TurboGrafx-16. It's the whole reason I wanted the TurboGrafx-16. And then there are two sequels on Sega Genesis. And then there's a 2010... reboot with modern 3D graphics that wasn't very well received, so I didn't even bother playing that one. So I wonder, what would a Splatterhouse Encore be? Is it, I hope it's not a remake of that 2010 game.
So two things. I think there's going to be a lot of blood. That's my first joke. But cool. The second thing is everyone on our comments on our IGN Now for that like loved 2010.
Like, well, yeah, okay.
Because they were your age when they played the 2010.
I mean, maybe.
It was their equivalent of your experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. To me, it's like...
They're I'm going to get a PlayStation 3 because Splatterhouse.
To me, it was so novel to see gore presented in 16-bit graphics, and it's much less novel for a modern 3D game to feature gore. Like,
well, that game is pretty novel and it's gore. It doesn't look like anything
well,
else.
Well, I don't know. It's just
you beat people
blood
with
everywhere.
Somebody else's arm for most of the
is
game.
Is that original?
Yeah, I feel like you've...
I feel like I've been there before.
Yeah.
You've been there in Splatterhouse 1, 2, and 3. In reviewing, in research for this episode,
cool.
I was watching a little bit of Splatterhouse.
Which one?
The first one.
Good.
Splatterhouse 1. And there's a scene where a house comes to life.
Oh, yeah.
And the windows are shaking. Yeah. And there's like a TV shaking in the background. It's like a poltergeist house.
Yes.
Right? And what you do while the house comes to life is punch a knife over and over again that flies at you.
The knife flies at
it's
you.
It's really good.
And you punch it in its blade.
And its blade. And then it goes to the floor. And then it flies up. And then it flies back at you and you punch it again. And it's just the sequence. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I was fascinated with those games as a kid. Then also Klonoa was the original is a PlayStation 1 game. Was one of the first 2.5D side-scrolling platformers. That's very well received. And there were several sequels to that. And then they remade the original in 2008 for the Nintendo Wii. So I wonder if that's the one that would be an encore.
I've only watched videos of Klonoa, and I know there's people that freak out for that game, and it looks great. The first game is really funny because it's like it is 2D, but like everything rotates while you're moving around it. And I always thought it was more of a like Donkey Kong Country, like, you know, thing, like when I saw like it in magazines back in the day, but it's pretty much a pretty big level up from that because it has so much
more puzzle solving
and puzzle solving. Yeah. And then the characters are all Sonic-y.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're like, yeah, that's a good way to put it.
They're not real animals. Well, neither Sonic. I mean, all those animals have human teeth and stand on 2 feet.
And then Sam, what's significant about Mr. Driller?
It's really good.
Well, it is really good. But do you know Mr. Driller is Dig Dug's son?
Really?
Like canon?
Yes.
Canon.
I think we've talked about this before. That's really
Mr. Driller is Dig Dug's son.
Huh. That's why
he carries it. He
clearly his grown son.
Wait, that's so weird. So he
Mr. Driller.
Yeah.
It's
like 20 years after Dig Dug.
It's Mr. Driller.
Mr. Driller came out in 2000.
Yeah.
In arcades. Okay.
Mr. Driller is
Oh man,
my
I
father.
Hope there's like hidden dialogue somewhere where he's like, that's my father.
Yeah.
Mr. Driller.
Please.
Yo, what's up?
Please, that's my father.
So strange.
Dig Dug, I don't know if that's Dig Dug's name, though. Isn't it? Because, like,
his name is Doug.
I don't know if it is.
Doug Driller.
I think it's
Doug Driller.
That's the only way that makes sense.
Driller.
Well, so then what's Mr. Driller's first name?
Impossible to know.
Yeah. Unless he was named Doug Jr. after his dad.
I bet
yeah.
it's revealed in the end that it's Ben.
Ben Driller.
Ben Driller's pretty good.
Ben Driller's a good name. It's a good stage name.
And Mr. Like Driller, you have to dig down and reach the checkpoint before you run out of oxygen and die a horrible death.
Or get crushed.
Deep beneath the Earth's surface.
Hmm.
So again,
was
I wonder.
Was it ever on a portable system? Because when I watched it, it looked like it needed to be.
DS.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. DS versions of that.
Hmm.
But again, I wonder what the encore, what would an HD remaster of Mr. Driller be? I don't know.
Well, I think it'd be like 3D and then you'd have the arm weapon and then blood.
3D and the arm weapon and blood and knives are also flying at you. They have to punch while you're digging.
Maybe with someday they'll be like, maybe they'll someday just digging and beating through the ground through them. Maybe someday there'll be 2010 versions of games that are just much more violent in 3D.
Probably.
I like that idea.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
All right, this music cue is a request from Chris in Toronto. He says, my first gaming console was an Atari 600XL. Never heard of it.
He probably made that up.
In addition to playing carts, you could also load games from cassette tapes. Nice. My favorite cassette game that took like 15 minutes of playing the tape to load was Dimension X. Cool name. It was a sci-fi first-person cockpit shooter. For some reason, I always felt solitary and lonely. I don't know if it was because of the title track that also played at certain points in the game, but almost 35 years later, this track still gives me mad feels. Tell me if this... You're getting mad feels and feelings of solitariness and loneliness. Dimension X is the name of the game.
Maybe you felt solitary and lonely because nobody else had an Atari 600XL.
I could see the feels.
Could you?
Like he's it. Great.
That's
sci-fi like first-person cockpit shooter is what we're listening to right now.
No, this is
awesome.
I love this.
Yeah.
Well, I loved it.
That was great.
All right, we're getting an Atari 600XL.
Get it.
Listen to that. I always thought
that's a cool pitch bend drop.
This sounds so
this
like
the beat comes
this
in?
Would be like oh yeah like you could hear this as be like
I love that. Keep doing that.
Okay. Google Stadia.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be out in November. We don't have an exact release date yet. Google has not settled on one yet, but November is only 44 days away, so come only dozens of days away from Google Stadia. And if you haven't gotten yourself that Founders Club, time is running out. Google said it is almost sold out.
Yeah.
Of the Founders Club.
So Damon thinks the story is silly.
Because what are they selling out of? What you get? Yeah, you get the controller.
That
they arbitrarily limited to a certain number.
Yeah.
That's why
a lot of that though, like exclusivity.
They're also selling out of naming conventions, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So what you got with the Founders Club was the blue controller, a Chromecast, which obviously they're not selling out of the Chromecast.
Mm-hmm.
And then what else? First rights to naming.
Founders names.
You get to pick your own name, and it won't have a series of random numbers at the end of it. And then
that's just rude.
I know. And then it also comes with a buddy pass. You can gift it to your friend for 3 months of Stadia Pro.
So you get a normal name, no buddy pass, and a white controller.
For the new, they announced, even though the Founders Edition is selling out, we have a new, what is it called? Premium Edition or something like that.
Pro Edition. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, Premium.
And it's the same basically the same thing, costs the same amount, but it's a white controller, doesn't have the buddy pass, and now you don't get the to choose your name first.
Are you sure it doesn't have the buddy pass?
It doesn't have the buddy pass.
100%. And you, what they sold out of was those little slips of paper that have a code to get to your friend. Yeah. That's the only thing I could think of.
Do we know?
Look, our printer's jammed. We got to cut off the pre-orders.
Do we know if Stadia will have support for other controllers?
It has support for all of them.
Okay, so you definitely don't need to pre-order Stadia in any way.
Well, in
plus
order,
the wasabi color
to get in,
controller is
like the
best color controller.
To play it this year, you have to get in with this Founders or Premium Edition.
But
you have to buy in.
Okay. Wait, do you have to pay all the... I thought there was like a $60 where you can just get the service.
I don't think this year. Okay. Not at launch.
Okay. Oh, well, Stadia's.
Wait, when's the wasabi one available and how? That one...
What?
Don't know.
That's just
I assumed November. I assumed the same time frame.
Maybe it'll be available at launch, but like
with the Founders one, I think
until now the only way you could do it was the Founders Club by buying into the Founders Club.
Weird. But I thought you could choose a color even when you joined the Founders Club.
I don't think so. I think you got the night blue one.
Night blue.
Yeah.
And then the new one's called regular white.
Nope.
I thought that's what it was.
Clearly white.
Clearly.
Clearly white.
You're getting lots of names wrong. Right. You're not
that's
a very,
the first time I've gotten a name wrong.
You're not a very detail-oriented person.
You know what?
Today,
the more unprepared I come into a podcast, the more fun I have.
Well, that's good.
See, I always said,
and for the rest of us,
I always said Stadia, and I haven't known what you guys have been talking about for the last 10 minutes. I just caught up. I just did the math in my head, and I caught up. I was like, "What are they saying? I'm going to be kicked off the show." I say Stadia.
I'm going to get kicked off the show.
Sam never change or change.
Only one person has ever gotten kicked off of the show, but we don't talk about that.
These are probably the people in the office that sit nearest to me, and I just want to go on the record saying they're sick of it.
Clearly not. Clearly not.
Sick of sitting nearest to you?
Yeah.
It is strange. I never thought about that. Yeah, we all sit
you guys
very
are my
close
orbit.
To each other.
Yeah.
If I had really long arms, I could touch you all while I sit on my desk.
I think we should just record the podcast from our desks. Sorry,
we could have been doing
that
this whole time.
Yeah, and I have a good CRT on the desk that we can play Joan Mac 2 on.
Aladdin.
Joan Mac 2 is good.
There's actually a lot of games you could play on it, but he picked a weird one.
Well, that's the only one.
Played Mario 64.
Mark hasn't seen Jurassic Park. He hasn't played Joan Mac 2.
First of all, Mark took all my other games. All over his desk. That's how close he sits to me. I walk by his desk all the time. I'm like, is this mine? He's like, probably, if it's on cartridge. I'm like, you just turned that around on me in a really weird way.
I like called him old for stealing his own stuff.
We have fun here at IGN.
It's a weird place.
I pre-ordered the Google Stadia Founders Edition more out of curiosity than anything else. But how are you guys feeling? So we can actually have some substance on this topic before we move
on.
How are you guys feeling about Google Stadia today? I know Sam has been skeptical from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. Remains to be seen.
I have nothing else to say about it. I can play all the games that's on Stadia this fall on any other system, so why would I play it?
So you know what's interesting? I think there's a lot of hesitation towards Google Stadia, just in general in the industry as far as I've seen, and then also with our readership. But there's obviously communities online where people are really excited about it, and they're very positive. The people who are excited for it, they're incredibly
Google employees, and there's a lot of them.
Well, that's true. They could populate those subreddits. But
you are seeing that, though.
It's genuine like posts about specific things like, oh, there's this, you know, Cyberpunk just got announced for Stadia. Mm-hmm. That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. And it is. It must be exciting because of just the support that's being broadcast.
I wonder
broadcast
if that comes
it.
From like Android, you know, fans and people that are fans of Google.
Probably.
You know, that are kind of anti-Apple.
And have a little bit more trust in their infrastructures. Yeah. One thing that I saw today as I was just doing my morning news browse, is people were talking about to bring it back to Borderlands, the problems that Borderlands was having with cloud saves just being completely wiped on PC. And they did a little post of like, this would never happen on Stadia. So I can see some of the positivity around it being completely tangible.
Oh, because all your saves would just be tied to your account, right? Because you're just...
Yeah, and that's like, it's not like there's a differentiation between...
Saving.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's all it is.
Now, I'm not super sold. I'm not going to look at Cyberpunk and
not
be like,
even look at it.
I'm not even going to look at it. I'm not going to look at Cyberpunk at the store and be like, I'm not going to spend $60 to play this on my PS4 because I want to spend $60 and play it on a cloud service that could just super not be working.
Or that it might just look a little bit worse, right?
Right. Like, I really want to use my PS4.
What if there's a trial, though, and you're like, I'm not sold on Cyberpunk?
So I'm going to try... Okay, well, that would be different. But, like, I'm going to try Destiny 2 on it, because Destiny 2 New Light or whatever is free on Steam. Right. And so, like, that's something I'd love. I can't wait to do that, but I don't think I'm ever going to spend $60 to buy a Stadia game versus something I can
play on my PS4. What if Splatterhouse Encore was a Stadia exclusive?
I mean, you tell us, Damon.
That's a fun joke. But that's what matters, is that the games matter. And, like, it doesn't matter how the games are delivered to me. It's convenient to me that I already have a bunch of other systems, so I don't need to sort this out. Other people are in different positions, but, like, I only care about what games are on it. And if there's no exclusives and there's no games that are, like, locked to it right now that I really have to play, like, there's no reason for me to use it.
There, it happened again.
Yeah, it did happen.
Why is that?
So weird.
What if Stadia was a streaming service for classic games?
You just dropped him into an existential crisis.
It could certainly handle
like 30 refrigerator-sized machines in my house that mean I don't need an emulation system.
Okay.
Well, I don't like emulation.
It also depends. If I load up Mario, classic Mario, and I push A, and it does not feel how it's supposed to feel, I'm out. And you're going to feel that with classic games.
You're going to feel that?
100%. Like, you can kind of get away with, like, streaming RPGs and stuff like that. Sometimes games kind of feel more sluggish, but, like,
That's so sad that we're already anticipating that, like, the lag is going to affect what games you can play.
Every time they stream, the freaking thing buffers. It's ironic as hell. And that's here at IGN.
Yeah.
Where we have really good internet.
That happened at GDC.
Covering the stream or whatever, it always, and we notice it because it's Stadia, but the stream itself, their live stream always ends up buffering. Yeah. And so it's like, it's crazy ironic that it's like, oh, this is buffering. I can't wait for that to happen in a video game. Like, that's not going to be.
I don't know. Lately, everything I play on my PS4 has frame rate issues. So what the hell does it matter anyway?
That's a good point.
And so, again, game library, let's see what happens.
That's true.
I don't even want to judge it early. Like, I can make fun of the technology, but I'm not playing the technology, and I'm curious. And I'm also, of course, we'll have to always point out that lots of people don't have good internet. What was the stat from our...
Oh, it was like a quarter of our readers that we polled couldn't even run it based on bare minimum requirements set by Google.
IGN readers. That's like people who clearly have buy-in to playing video games. And we're talking about, like, expanding games to more people than that, like the whole world. I'm just really worried about that.
Maybe they'll bring us, Google Fiber.
Well, that's the thing, is that Google has the ability to fix that problem, like, almost uniquely, right?
Maybe that's what they're going to do.
Just hook me up.
Yep.
Can you get fiber here in the city?
Google veins.
I don't know how fiber works in San Francisco, but weirdly, Kansas has it.
Kansas City has Google Fiber.
Also Austin.
One of the lucky Austin towns. Let's check in with listeners.
Hey.
Oh, no.
You should know that one.
Okay, was it Blaster Master?
It was Blaster Master.
Oh.
Listeners, remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, just like Big Tony style. Big Tony style writes in to say, are you less attached to current gen games than games you played as a kid? If so, why? I started replaying A Link to the Past, and I was thinking to myself, will I ever want to revisit some of the games I've played over the last 3 years, 20 years from now? And even though there are games I've loved, I'm not sure they'll resonate me as much as some of the games I've played in my childhood. I think a lot of this may have to do with the sheer amount of access I have to games and how quickly I move from one to another, so I'm not as attached to just a handful of games a year I had as a kid. Anyway, just curious if the Omega Cops feel the same way.
Does it have to be current gen?
I think that's what he's asking about.
Just the most recent.
Like the games of today, 20 years from now. Like
since your career, I think.
Yeah. I mean, because there are games that are not like classic that I grew up with as a kid that are still impactful to me, like Portal 2, to make it slightly more recent. I'll never stop thinking about that game or like replaying that game. And I'm not really a person who replays games because there's just so many to keep up with that I feel like it's kind of a personal waste of time to do that, but I love, like, that game is so perfect from its soundtrack to its writing to its puzzle and level design, and it's become kind of my de facto like breakup game. Like post breakup, I'll just play that because I can just kind of drown in it, and that would be meaningful to me 20 years from now.
If there is a perfect game out there, it's Portal 2.
Right?
Totally. Definitely a top 10 for me.
I think there are certainly like lots of games from this generation and the previous generation that I would like to revisit even now. Like I can think of games like Dead Space when I'm like, man, why? I wish they would do a nice little remaster package of Dead Space. I'd totally play that again.
You just dipped back into Breath of the Wild. You're just like, I'm going to play this again.
Earlier this year, yeah, played some of that in a, whatever the short drought was at the time. But like the reality is, Big Tony style, like the games you play when you're 10 years old are just, you're like, you're going to love those games for the rest of your life. And then like your love for them only like intensifies over time as you get older. So it's like nothing's ever going to be the same as that, right?
Well, I think the difference is like also for those games, when you replay some of them, they don't actually hold up to your memory of them. Whereas like I think Portal 2, if I had to guess like 10 years from now, I would, if I played it, it would still feel really proficient as like a game design.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes people clamor for a game they liked when they were a kid to come back and that game was bad, like Kid Icarus. And then when it comes back, it's not that great either. Mm-hmm. And then you're just like, wow, was I wrong about this the whole time? That's an interesting thing. My point that I wanted to make about this is that I think that there's a problem when we talk about old games and a lot of shows that I actually really like that talk about old games, where it feels like, you know, a closed off conversation. Like I experienced this when I was a kid, so it's more important. Mm-hmm. I think that's contributed to like a lot of toxicity and nerd culture right now. And like, you know, there's like, this was my thing. Like the NES was my thing. And if you don't know everything about these NES games, then you're nothing. And I think that's really crappy and it's unwelcoming. And I'm really happy that there's things like the, new Switch classic stuff, so we can actually go back and look at these old games, and I hope there's encouraging ways to play them, like Nintendo's doing by like actually making them remixed or like making them easy to access. Mm-hmm. And then if you listen to shows like GameScoop, when we talk about them, I hope we give good recommendations. I think that's a good segue to our next thing, but I'm not done talking yet. but I work with a lot of people now who are, you know, younger than me, and they had really interesting experiences as kids with PlayStation games or PlayStation 2 games or anything. And those are absolutely as meaningful to them. And I don't want to discount that. And I want to cover those games, you know, the same way. And I think those are retro and or classic and nostalgic and stuff right now. Mm-hmm.
I have a better actual current gen game, Red Dead 2. Yeah. Forgot momentarily. Yeah. Oh, come on, get out of here. Get out of your own show. with Red Dead 2, I mean, the thing about it is like there are certain characters or storyline elements that just really stay with you. I guess spoilers a little bit on this one, but there's a scene where you're like building a house. Is that spoilers?
If you leave it at building a house, you're fine.
Yeah. And just like, you know, looking at what you've done, it was such a beautiful moment that like, if I think back on that moment, it gives me a lot of like feelings and emotions and memories attached to what I felt in that moment too. And I think that like, that's the kind of thing that will stick with you.
The realism and the beauty in that game was so intense that it's like that sticks with me easily.
Yeah.
Plus like once you built the house, it's like tell me if this is a spoiler, but when the house comes to life and starts throwing knives at you.
Yeah. It's that part,
you are on a roll.
It was like a weird, like, beauty. I didn't see it coming. That's what stuck with me.
That was my favorite part of Red Dead Redemption 2.
The part that he said that kind of like goes up to is like, I love Call of Duty, right? But like a Call of Duty comes out every year. But when I was younger, me and my friends played Call of Duty 2 so much that's the only game we had forever, right? And so like Call of Duty 2 will always stick out. Like it becomes this call of blur where you're like, wait, which Call of Duty was 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. You have to like count back and you're like, I don't even know. But like Call of Duty 2 will always be special. And that's how it is with like Final Fantasy X is like a game I put so many hours into. I'll never put that many hours into one JRPG or like World of Warcraft. I put thousands of hours into that game. I'm never going to do that again for another MMO. But there are some games this gen that have kind of weirdly stuck with me because they become my focus so much. One would be like Horizon Zero Dawn. Like when that game was about to come out, I was watching everything for it. I would watch PAX gameplay, everything of other outlets. And I would just watch whatever I could. And when I like held it in my hands, it was very strange and it was very weird. And then I beat it. And I remember just being like, yeah, this is a game that's going to stick with me for a long time. And I think Death Stranding is going to end up being kind of the same deal. Is I'm so ingrained in Death Stranding right now that I don't know. It all depends on how it shakes out. But like, I'm actually going to write a piece. The Death Stranding was announced at my first E3 at this company. And what's weird about that is they always said, like, if you can watch an E3 press conference, watch it like working in the industry, right? Because instead of just sitting at
home
watching,
say that.
Well, you know how it is. Like you watch E3 at home.
You know, you're
like
grandparents.
You're like, this is awesome, and you can
one day, my son, when you're in the industry, you'll love this even more.
But I'm just saying, like, you can sit there and tweet, and so. But if you're just at home, just you know, and it's like, oh, being in the war room is amazing. And my first war room experience was seeing Death Stranding getting announced, and it was like, it's kind of weird.
And everyone was like, huh.
I was going to say that too, like for us, it's totally different because we're not just gamers. We're also like, you know, in a professional industry mm-hmm. where we're playing games all the time. And part of that is so attached to it. Like I hosted my first show for the Red Dead spoiler cast mm-hmm. and like, that was such a cool moment. Yep. And so I think you have this inevitable attachment. That's not even just mm-hmm. because of the game. It might be because of the multiplayer experiences. Like Halo Infinite won't be the same as any other Halo game to me because I won't be like in my dorm room, like playing with a mm-hmm. bunch of people. And then same as like, you know, Red Dead or for you, Death Stranding potentially, because you just make it so much a part of your career. And there's all these like beats that you can call back to where
well, it's because like I got hired and PT had like been canceled or Silent Hills. And then it's like, what's he going to do next? Then he comes back on the E3 show and he's like, I'm back. And you're like, this is amazing. And then it reveals that it's Norman Reedus. And it was like, I was in a room full of everybody when that happened. So it's like, it's going to always stick with me. Even if Death Stranding is awful, the press lead up to it is going to be amazing because that's literally been my entire career here.
Mm-hmm. I think it was interesting that you mentioned that Final Fantasy thing. that was always like a thing where I was a little bit annoyed when people like really worshiped Final Fantasy VII. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, 20 years ago or something. There were six Final Fantasy games that I personally think were better before that. And a lot of people didn't play them. So I was really annoyed by that. But now I think about it totally differently. It's like what mattered to me was just the Final Fantasy games that came out when I was that age and when I was a little kid, and I loved one so much because I played it for a year, mm-hmm. you know, and like that sticks with you. It affects you more than a game that you rented over the weekend, right?
Well, my first video game console was a PlayStation 2 with Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, so
and
then
that's
each
the game I had
that,
for
that
2 years.
One. Exactly. So now
our experiences are so similar. it was the same thing for
it's
me.
Such an age.
That was like my first console that was mine and nobody else.
Well, it is so crazy that Link's Awakening came out. It comes out, well, if you're watching this, it came out today. That might be the first game I ever played because my first game thing was a Game Boy with Link's Awakening. And so it's so strange that game's like out again and now everyone gets to play it again. Hopefully they like
yeah,
it.
That's good.
Another fun thing that just came across while you were talking is that you're like such a big fan still. And like, I think we mm-hmm. all feel that way. I feel that way about Zelda right now. Like I started our morning meeting this morning with saying like, it's a Zelda day. That's very rare for us. I'm so excited to go home tonight and play a Zelda game.
Totally.
Like I can't believe how excited I am.
I have an Amazon Prime delivery coming between 7 and 9 p.m. tonight to deliver an SD card for my Nintendo Switch.
Oh man.
Because I'm out of room. I need room for Link's Awakening.
It'll probably be a long download too, huh?
Yeah, well.
Just delete Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Reload it.
I don't need the old Zelda game. Never. I got the new Zelda
the
game.
New
exactly.
Like Sam said, that was a good segue into this question from Brian in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Now that NES games on Nintendo Switch allow you to remove that ugly control bar at the bottom of the screen, I find myself finally wanting to check them out. My experiences so far have ranged from great, like Super Mario Bros. 3, to truly awful, like City Connection. But I have not been able to find any definitive rankings of all the NES games available on the service or were released over the last year. Are there any must-plays I'm missing besides your Zeldas and Marios or hidden gems I should check out? Thank you.
I made a list.
Cool.
Well, I don't need to dominate this, but I can go through some. NES Open Golf is really cool. It's a really fun game to have some beers and like play. It's very simple, but it's like Mario Golf, so it's like it's kind of wacky, and it's just like a really good. You can play 18 holes. It takes like probably 45 minutes to get through it all.
Wait,
and
is that the black
great
box
two-player
one?
Game? What
is that? The black
no, one? That's just called golf.
That's just golf.
Yeah, the game stinks. This one's like Mario themed, and I don't know. It has great little courses and great music. Totally worth.
Why is Tina laughing?
Because he just said it so accusatory. What?
What?
What black box one is? Anyway,
it's all in the delivery. Adventures of Lolo is another one. It's a game where you're like a squat little sphere, and you walk around and kind of like puzzle your way through enemies. You're really mean to snakes in that game, though. I noticed. Really,
they cover your hearts. We've been through this.
Then you kick them out. And then there's a game called Twin Bee, which is not great, but it reminded me to go tell everybody to go check out Stinger, which is the sequel to it on NES2, which hopefully will be on that system soon, which is really cool. Okay, here's a controversial one. Zelda 2 is only fun with save states. And this has that and also has some other like tweaking you can play with it. I really recommend playing Zelda 2 because it has all these connections to all the other Zelda games. And it's really cool. I only played it through for the first time ever like 5 years ago because I had it on 3DS, right?
It's also like a really interesting entry in the series.
Yeah. So yeah. The game's awesome. It's super
hard. It's not awesome.
It is awesome. It's so weird that it's like, because it's 2D.
Hey Mark,
it's
did you play it on NES when you were a kid?
No.
Because it's impossible and awful.
It's very hard.
You need save states and it really helps. You can't beat it without saves. Well, Jared can beat it without
saves. Nobody ever beat that game.
And then there's also a Balloon Fight, which has really good music, and it has a little thing called Balloon Trip, which is an infinite game. And all you do is go off into the night, and it's like a black background with like stars twinkling and like an ocean, and it plays a song, and you just go forever. And you just try to like just get like kind of lazily through the sky.
The music is great in Balloon Fight.
Yeah, it's super cool. And then a fish eats you, and it's awful. What could be worse than a fish eating you? That is like the worst fate. All right.
I saw a documentary called Piranha. Oof.
Well, those are a bunch of little fish eating you.
Yeah.
That never happened.
Which is worse? That's one fish eating you or a bunch of little fish eating you?
That's a tough question. Yeah. I guess the one fish eating you thing like could go
it just
really
goes
bad.
Slower, yes. Or you die in one bite.
Well, how do you die? Is it like, is it
if you're
bite?
Swallowed whole?
Or is it stomach acid?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Remember the fish eating you in Mario 3? I remember that always being like a shocking thing. Like it just ate you.
It's an instant kill.
You're just like, oh!
That's the kind of kill you want, though.
It's just boom, do, 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 yeah. I don't need to keep going, but I will. Super Dodgeball is a really fun game that is another two-player game. It's a little bit choppy on NES, but basically it's like a dodgeball game, so you're just throwing balls at each other, and you know you can play as two-player, but you have super attacks, and when you throw a ball across to the other person, each character has its own super attack, and there's like ones where the ball like goes like this, and it's like hard to avoid, or it's like bouncing up and down. It's really fun. Blaster Master is an amazing game that I just don't know if people know about. Perfect music, perfect plot about your frog.
Perfect music.
And a really cool combination of gameplay. And then finally, two more. Donkey Kong 3, it's a really interesting shooter game.
Is that a hidden gem?
I love that you picked that.
Because nobody likes Donkey Kong 3. Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Jr. are platformers, and they're famous. Donkey Kong 3 is not. It's a shooter. It's basically a space shooter masked as a Donkey Kong game where
you shoot bug spray up Donkey Kong's butt.
Yep. And then there's bugs that attack you. It's just like Galaga or something. It's interesting.
I just would love if that was the back of the box. It's like
shoot bug spray up Donkey Kong's butt.
And like a little.
Finally.
IGN.com. The final one is Wrecking Crew. It's a game that stars Mario, but Mario looks weird, so it's unclear if it's actually Mario. He's like all stretched out. It's probably not made by anybody that had to do with Super Mario Brothers, but it's a puzzle game, and you kind of puzzle your way through destroying buildings.
You have to destroy everything on screen, but if you do it in the wrong order, some platforms will be left that you can't reach. So you have to
get murdered by an eggplant. Also, tough way to go.
Yep.
We're good.
Would you rather be eaten by a bunch of tiny fish or murdered by an eggplant?
I think the eggplant sounds kind of pleasant.
Yeah. Getting eggplanted to death. I want to mention two games that Sam didn't. First is Punch-Out. I think Punch-Out is one of the just forever fun and super playable NES games. It's just as fun today.
And they removed Mike Tyson, which is the best part about it.
So it's just Punch-Out. And also Double Dragon 2. Greatly improved after Double Dragon. Super fun side-scrolling brawler with lots of like fun enemies, all the environments, every level is different. Great music in that one too. That one has two-player. Yeah, it's very good. All right, and that brings us to video game 20 questions. Speaking of Blaster Master's music, first of all, a suggestion I didn't pick because this is like a good example of just what's not going to get picked. Adam from Stockholm, Sweden suggested the game Total Overdose.
Would we have gotten that one?
Never heard of it. No.
It's a PlayStation 2 game. I've never heard of it.
Well, he would have gotten a tweet response from me.
Total Overdose was that one. I did pick one from Bev Jeffries in Middlesbrough, UK. Middlesbrough, I don't know. Bev is her name. She says, me and my husband are recently married and we spend all our spare time gaming together where possible. We love playing co-op together and recently completed the Gears 5 campaign. We're now halfway through Borderlands 3. We love watching GameScoop and we make it our Saturday morning routine to watch. Sam is our favorite. When I was young,
damn it.
When I was young, I grew up with
three older
brothers. My earliest memory of co-op games comes from Toe Jam and Earl, Return to Funkatron.
Nice.
I had so much fun playing through this. It wasn't too difficult to understand when I was a young gamer. I'm wondering what everyone's first memories of gaming were and what games they enjoyed the most playing co-op with friends is. So we'll answer her question real quick before we get to 20 questions. First gaming memory.
For co-op?
Nope. First gaming memory.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. Mine is, there's a game, Zork, The Great Underground Empire.
The text adventure.
Yeah, the text adventure game. My grandfather had a bunch of different, like, games on his computer, but probably when I was, you know, early enough to read and write, 4 or 5, I guess, I played Zork, and it blew my mind.
Growing up in the 80s, there were arcade machines just everywhere, at the grocery store and at the pizza parlor. I'm sure my first introduction to video games was just like my parents giving me some quarters while we waited for our pizza to arrive at Pizza Hut, playing probably a cocktail cabinet with Galaga or Commando on it.
I just missed that era and I'm so jealous.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I bet.
It was awesome.
I really don't remember what my first gaming memory was. That's all I got.
Okay. Your first memory is not remembering.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah, exactly.
I remember I went to kindergarten in Des Moines, Iowa, and I went to what is it called? After school, you go to it's like a daycare or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went to a new one because I went to one and then I went to a new one. And the first thing I saw when they opened the door was like a Super Nintendo with Mario World. And I was like, what is this? I didn't even know what it was.
Did you play it?
No. Like I think we were just touring it. Like I don't remember. I was literally like 4.5 years old. But I still have like a screenshot in my head of seeing the screen and being like, huh, I don't know what that is. And then I got a Game Boy like maybe a year later.
I remember what my first co-op gaming experience
was. What was that?
I think I've talked about it on GameScoop before, but it's GoldenEye. Mm. Used to play with my brothers, my cousins. It was just like rinse and repeat over and over, like five more minutes, kind
that's
of
what it is.
Yeah.
If you have Aladdin memories from Super Nintendo, you probably have an early Super Nintendo game.
But yeah, they would have all been like probably SNES, but it was like our cousin's console. So we would have to drive to Boston and then whatever they had available, whatever they wanted to play, we would play that.
Are the cousins older?
Yeah.
Yeah, the older cousins also always got to pick what you played.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And
then if you bring something...
Had systems before me, too.
If you bring something like Maniac Mansion, oh, they don't want to play that. Okay. Guess we'll just play RBI Baseball again.
Oh, boy. At least we had doubles up.
All right, we're running out of time. Let's do our video game 20 questions from Bev Jeffries. Let the questioning begin.
I want the first joke question to be, have we mentioned it on the show yet?
Go for it.
We talked about so many games now, it's too much.
That's true.
Is this on current gen consoles?
No.
Is this from before 19 or no? Before 2000.
Before 2000, yes.
Is this I feel like no matter what I ask, Sam's gonna yell at me. He always yells at me.
No.
Very mean man.
Is this exclusive to one platform?
No.
Always a good question. Is it
was this on a cartridge-based format?
Yes.
Was it a platformer?
It definitely has platforming elements.
Okay.
It's a big part of it. That's half of its genre. Let's call it that.
Sounds like Blaster Master.
That's 5 questions.
Damn it, I should have asked if we had mentioned it on the show.
we can still do that. That's the cheat at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
The hack. Is this a 16-bit game?
Yes.
Okay.
So Jenny Super NES.
Mm-hmm.
Is this game, can it be played 2 players?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. 2-player, half platformer. What's half platformer?
What do you do in the other half?
Yeah, exactly.
You study a map.
Probably.
Is this Mario?
Is this Borderlands?
Wait, Mario, where are you?
so you, it was a co-op question specifically?
Yeah, I said, yeah, can you play two players? Not co-op.
Can you play at the same time?
Yes.
That's special.
Games that like that.
Yeah.
Those are the fun ones.
Yeah. You should know by now.
Yeah, I think I know what it is. is it? No. Was this game made in Japan?
No.
Wait, you don't have ideas of what it is yet?
No. Okay. Yeah, I don't have any ideas.
Because
there's so few
games where you can play simultaneously.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of brawlers, and those have a little bit of platforming elements.
That's true.
Sunset Riders or something like that. I don't really know.
Benny and Jimmy.
But that was made in Japan.
They're not sunset.
Should we ask if there's brawling?
Yeah.
Is there brawling?
No. That's 10.
No punching, huh?
Well, I don't want to say there's no punching, but
there might be some punching.
It's not a brawler.
Okay. There's so few games that you play at the same time.
Yeah,
you
that's also not like a brawler.
Hop around a lot, and you know.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Was this game received well?
Yes.
People love it. So it's on our top 100 list.
Is it part of a series?
I don't know which one. Like, can you, how would you define series?
Like, does it have sequels? Or pre?
It has a sequel.
It has a sequel.
That's not even a yes or no answer.
And then, yeah. And then, but that means there's probably like spinoffs or something.
I mean.
A sequel.
I bet it's Joe and Mac. That's what I'm thinking. It's funny that I brought it up a bunch in this show. But it's something like that, where you're like walking around clubbing with clubs, like actual
Didn't the person say, didn't Bev say Toe Jam and Earl? Maybe it's Toe Jam and Earl. Maybe it's a fake out. And they literally are saying the name of it.
But that was only on one system.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Sega? Yeah. Mm.
Did this game have an arcade version?
No.
Wow. Okay.
Back to square one. Mm-hmm.
It's tough. Tough one.
I can't. Do you play as a human in this game?
Yes.
Do you both play? No, that's not a real one.
Is this game based on a license?
No. That's 15.
Oh, boy.
That means...
What if it didn't have an arcade game because this is the second one in the series or something like that?
Huh? He said this game has a sequel.
Yeah. So, like... It could have a prequel also, and might not have been in the arcade. I don't know, man. Well, Joe Mac was made in Japan, too. I got to get off that kick. American games, European games, could it be? Probably in... Is this in the collections? What are they called? The all-in-one... Is this in an all-in-one console collection?
I don't know.
Okay. Play as a human. Play with your buddies.
Mm-hmm. Were you asking about like a mini?
Not a brawler.
Like a mini, yeah. Because that would narrow it down a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And you play it at the same time.
Can you... genre would be helpful, as in like sci-fi or...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, more like setting. Oh, we can ask the...
It's kind of platforming, yeah.
We can ask the real world or whatever question.
Yeah, go for it.
You do it. I forget how we phrase it. How do we phrase it?
I don't know which question you're asking.
Oh, is it... does this take place in what could be...
Like a realistic Earth.
Like our world.
Yeah.
Like, or is it... So
uh-oh.
That's so weird.
Can someone ask the question again?
Okay. Is this a sci-fi game?
Yes.
Narrowed it down.
Oh, boy. Okay, so maybe it is maybe it's like a Contra game or something. Wait, did we talk about shooties?
No, we didn't. Only punching.
Do you shoot guns in this game?
You can.
Then it's
Hold on. Not guns, but you could shoot a projectile.
Whoa. Man. What does that mean?
It means nothing.
You count lasers as guns.
We have nothing.
Are lasers guns?
Yeah. Are lasers guns? That's a really good
question.
Didn't we already talk about this somewhere?
It does feel like a conversation.
Did we say it was a side-scroller? I mean, it's got to be, right? It's got a platform.
It could be top-down. Is this a side-scrolling game?
Oh, hold on. You think this could be a top-down platformer? Yeah, I'm throwing you a lifeline here. You have three questions left.
Oh, yeah, don't ask the question. No. Don't ask the question. Back off.
It's definitely a side-scroller.
It's hard to think about this.
Sci-fi side-scrolling.
Yeah, without it being licensed.
With a projectile. That's the key here.
It is. I bet that you have like a boomerang.
But it's like you pick stuff up in brawlers. Like that's the only thing that pops into my head is like
Strider.
Oh, you can.
That's arcade. Japan. I'm entering my mind palace.
I'm banking on the Wikipedia and Sam's brain right now.
Two questions and a guess left.
Okay. Sci-fi, that's so weird. Such a weird genre to have on Super Nintendo with two players at once. I just can't even imagine. You must drive a little bit in it too or something. I don't even know where to go from here. And you play as a human.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Okay. What does that even mean?
There is no question.
It means you're not Earthworm Jim.
And we're sure it's simultaneous co-op. We asked that and you said yes.
Why would it be definitely a human? Like, I'm confused about that.
What do you mean?
Trying to give us a hint that it's like, it's definitely a human. Like, does that mean you're not a robot and you're fighting only robots in it?
What?
You know what I mean?
I mean, no, it just means you're definitely human. And I guess that's supposed to clue us off because there's tons of sci-fi games where you're not.
Yeah. Do you fight do you fight robots or something? I don't even know where he's going with this. I know what to do, Damon.
You could give up.
I could give up.
Yeah. We're going to hate this.
I know. I've heard the question be asked. I don't know if I want to ask it, but I've heard the questions like, are we going to be angry when we hear it? Like, yeah. is it obvious?
We don't need to know the answer to that.
Have you and I played this game together?
We haven't played it together, no.
We haven't played it together?
No.
But we both played it.
So we have one more question?
I've played it.
Yeah.
Here's a hint. I love this game. You know the era, you know, platforming is half of the genre. You know, you play as a human in a sci-fi situation. There is two-player simultaneous play. It wasn't made in Japan.
I don't know. I'm going to have to give up.
Did we mention this game already?
You did not mention this game. So you could throw out a guess. or I could just reveal the game.
It's not licensed, so it's...
I say we give up.
And it was on multiple systems?
This game is on both Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis and had PC ports at the time. It would later be ported to Game Boy Advance.
Keep going.
You already lost.
Give me more hints.
Lost.
This game was developed by Blizzard.
Oh!
It's not, I know what it is. Vikings.
What is it?
It's Lost Vikings.
The Lost
Vikings? Oh, it is Lost Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Okay, weird. Yeah, that's a good one.
Wow. Great game.
That is a great game.
Super awesome. Puzzle platformer, that game. You're
and
humans.
You play Simon.
You're humans, and it's set in the past, but aliens come and kidnap you, which makes it sci-fi.
Have we had this before?
I don't know.
I bet I got it the first time.
Let's just let that one count then.
Yeah.
One of the Vikings can shoot an arrow.
Mm-hmm. One of them has a shield, and one of them can run and jump.
Yeah.
We were on Boomerang, what we were talking about.
I really don't think of that game as a co-op game. Am I wrong?
There's a co-op mode.
It's like...
Two players can play as two of them at the same time, and then you can switch to the third one at will.
Because if you got to play it alone, then it's like,
You're constantly switching.
You're just switching.
I do remember the switching.
Yeah.
That was annoying.
And I'm pretty sure there was Lost Vikings 2.
There is. Yeah.
Never even seen that.
I wonder, is that one of those games that, like, if you had a multiport, would you be able to play as all three?
I don't think that was built.
There's so few games that had that.
Yeah. I remember playing a really old game that had it. It was the only game I ever played. It was like a fighting, like a 3D fighting game.
Well, where the hell were you?
It was a PS2 game. I don't remember. It was the only multi-part game I ever played.
Lost Vikings. Good one.
Yeah.
Before, that's a really good game.
Before Warcraft, Blizzard made Lost Vikings. And it was
should've known because it was given to us by a British person.
Yeah. Although Blizzard is not a British company, but... But they're much closer to where Vikings came from than we are.
Yeah.
So that's the connection. Thank you, Bev, for the suggestion. If you have your own suggestions for video game 20 questions, send them to me at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. How many more episodes in September? What I'm really asking is how many episodes till it's Halloween season? Next week?
Well, so there's one more episode in September.
Right? I think we got a 4-episode countdown to Halloween.
I think so, too.
Because the next
episode to our very special Halloween spooktacular here on Game Scoop. Please be excited. That's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Sam. Thank you, Tina.
It's 6, by the way.
6 what?
6 episodes.
T-6 to Halloween.
That's too long.
Yeah.
Let's do it now. Let's do it next week.
Let's
do it live.
Let's skip the next two episodes.
What if October is Halloween month?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is. It is Halloween month.
Sweet.
And we can get like spooky cereal and no tea. And we can wear costumes.
Fine, hot chocolate.
Are you kidding me?
I don't get it.
I'm
totally kicking these off.
My name is Damon. This is IGN Games. We're out.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.